And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Don't know what the weather's going to be like. Could be a little bit crazy out there today. We shall see. It is game day for the Predators, an exhibition game, nonetheless. They're one tune-up to the qualifying game on Sunday, which there will be a 12 o'clock pregame I'll have for you, 1 o'clock in the afternoon puck drop on Sunday, but today it'll be a 2 o'clock pregame, so this show will take you up to Predators pregame today, and then a puck drop at 3 as the Predators get things rolling here on this Thursday against the Dallas Stars. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is holding court over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side in Bellevue.
And
Elijah Campbell
back at the
Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Got a chance to watch more hockey yesterday, 6 exhibition games. So took in a lot of that, took in a little baseball, a little hockey. It is good to see live sports back on television. You know, more. We've got even more options. I feel like now every day we're going to have options when it comes to live sports, and that is, let's just say, more than welcome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I am here for it. I am excited. I watched some hockey last night. I watched baseball. Obviously, the Bravos, they come through and get the win. Freddie Freeman hits his first home run of the year, so that was good. But, yeah, it's just nice to have it all back. And now I don't know what to do. Like, we always talk about 2 TV setups. I might need 4 to pull this off. But I am so happy it's back.
Man, I'll tell you what, we've been waiting for this for a long, long time. And I'm pinching myself, right? I'm trying to get that routine back. You know, I went to the dry cleaner this morning. I haven't had to wear my suits in 4 months. So they were collecting a lot of dust. I said, these things need a wash, man. So I took them in there. I almost forgot to go back and pick them up. They've been sitting there in the laundromat for a couple of days. So I'm glad I remembered to go grab them before the show.
Yep. So
yeah,
you guys will be on Fox Sports Tennessee. So that's a good segue into that. And, of course, the radio side of things, everything will be heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call when they drop the puck at 3 o'clock. So everything can be heard right here on 102.5 The Game. And they've got a similar setup, I would assume, as you guys do over on the television side. You will also be in a different room. We talked about that yesterday on the show. For your setup for Fox Sports Tennessee, but doing things a little bit different these days, like everybody is doing. But we're going to talk to Brooks Bratton here at 10:15 in 10 minutes or so, and he is like kind of like the lone representative to go. These staffs are very, very small that entered the bubbles, the hub cities in Edmonton and Toronto, and so we'll talk to him about the setup there in Edmonton with Brooks coming up. Everybody else is back here, so it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be interesting to see how they look. It's going to be interesting to see. We had a really good conversation with Predators head coach John Hines yesterday on the show. Just what is it going to look like? I've noticed every coach is doing it differently. Some goalies have gone the distance. Some goalies have gone 2 periods. Some goalies have gone half and half. So it seems like everybody's got their different way of going about it. And we'll see how John Hines handles it a little bit later today.
Ed, we got this from the interview you guys did with Coach Hines yesterday. It sounded to me like both guys are going to play. It's just a matter of when they make the switch, but we'll have to see when it actually happens. But you're right, Darren. There have been some teams, and I think a lot of it does depend on whether you're playing in one of the qualifying rounds or not. It definitely plays into how much time you have to prepare for the real games, because some of the teams that have a bye into the round of 16, they're going to be playing games that mean something for seeding, but not certainly not the same urgency. So you have a different way of going about it.
Do we think that the goaltender that starts today is the guy?
Yeah, I do.
I do.
You do? I tend to lean that way as well. And I believe it'll be Saros. That's kind of where I'm going. But I didn't think that at the beginning.
If I had to guess,
I think you were the same
if
way,
I'm
Darren,
forced to make a guess, I agree.
Yeah, I think they're just going to go with – now, I don't know how short that leash is. I would imagine that it's pretty short because of the situation and knowing what Pekka can do. But I think Saros did enough in the regular season 6 years ago, whenever that was, and then also what he's done in training camp to keep that spot. So I think that they go with Saros.
You know, the thing that keeps jumping out at me from yesterday's interview you guys did was today's news. We have to go off of today's news. And it wasn't just with the goalies, but I would imagine it's from the goalies on through the lineup when they make the decision. Now, remember, today you can play an extra forward and an extra defenseman. You can dress two extra guys. So I don't know if I've ever seen a game where 13 forwards and 7 defensemen can play, but it's since you only have one exhibition game, there could be a little competition going on with the guys that you see out there for those last couple of lineup spots too.
Yeah, and I like that. I think that's a good move by the NHL to allow them to have a couple of extra players, not only for evaluation, but also, and John Hines said this in his press conference yesterday, of you know wanting to play everybody, but Josi would get usually 25, 26 minutes a night. Obviously not going to be the case this afternoon against Dallas, so you want to have that extra guy. And, you know, I mean, it helps you figure things out. I mean, we've talked about that third defense pairing. So if it's Holzer and Weber fighting for that last spot, I mean, this could be an opportunity for one of them to grab it. So I don't know that. You know, Austin Watson is another guy that I'll be paying attention to and have been paying attention to. You know, has he kind of found it again? I heard Robbie and Joe talking about that earlier this morning. So a couple of different storylines that you can pay attention to and hope to be able to figure out what this lineup is going to look like come Sunday.
We're going to talk to Wes Durham in the second hour of the program, and it looks like Notre Dame is going to join the ACC in college football, and now all these conferences are trying to figure out what their schedule is going to look like. Are they going conference only? Because my guess is ACC has thrown a little bit of a wrinkle into everybody's plans, because I don't think Greg Sankey and the Southeastern Conference was planning on playing anything outside of their conference. But if the ACC actually goes with 11 games, I think everybody is going to have to follow suit. I don't know how you can have conferences playing a different amount of games, and how would that affect, if there is a playoffs, how does that affect a playoff system? And so we'll see how this is going to work. But we'll talk to Wes about all this. A big-time cornerback for Virginia Tech has opted out, so we're starting to see that. We're seeing a lot of names in the NFL opting out. There was a pretty sizable list that's growing, and some names that happened after our show yesterday. The running back for Kansas City, Damian Williams, has told the Chiefs that he is opting out. You know, it's just one. Devin Funches is opting out, who was with Indianapolis last year, and I think he's with Green Bay now. He's opted out. I don't know who in the world Rodgers is going to go throw to other than his number one receiver, but that list continues to grow as well. And now we'll try to figure out Nate Solder. And that was kind of knew that was coming. There was a lot of hints out there that was coming. And indeed, he made it official yesterday that Nate Solder is indeed opting out. So that list continues to grow. And, of course, on the Titans side of things, no Vic Beasley. Don't know where he is. He's off the grid. And I don't know where that's going. All I can say is that's probably not a good sign.
Oh, no. It's a very bad sign. And from what I have been able to understand, if he doesn't play – the Titans get a compensatory pick from Atlanta, or Atlanta loses a pick, goes over to the Titans, is how I understand it. So obviously a lot at stake there, but
let me ask you this. Why, if you're the Falcons, would you be okay with that? I mean, he was a free agent, right?
Yeah, but I think I don't understand the rule. I just think it's a rule that it's like you sign.
But if you were the Falcons, wouldn't you be upset with that? Like, why should we give up a pick? I guess it's a compensatory pick. It's not their pick. So I guess that takes them out of the equation. But I don't really get that. right? You sign a free agent, he either plays or doesn't play. And the other part I'm wondering is if it's COVID related, right? If he says I'm opting out, then how does that figure in? Because a lot of players are opting out. That's his choice to make. I mean, I'm not complaining. If I'm the Titans, I'll take the pick if that's what happens. But if you're a free agent, I guess I don't get the rule there. I didn't know that rule existed. A free agent just doesn't play, and so you get a pick?
So Field Yates had put out that, you know, he didn't report, and then there was a Falcons website that said, Tuesday afternoon, former Atlanta Falcons first-round pick Vic Beasley did not report, and that could cost the Falcons a draft pick in 2021.
Falcons a pick? That doesn't make any sense.
If his 2020 contract with the Titans is disqualified because of his reserved did not report designation, Beasley would cost the Atlanta Falcons a 2021 fifth round pick, basically a compensatory pick. If you are unfamiliar, so this is what
So the Falcons would are supposed to get a compensatory pick.
Right, so the Titans.
Okay,
so
I thought you were saying the Titans would get a pick.
So the Titans, he was saying that. It's not the Titans. It's the Falcons.
Right. Yeah.
So okay, now that makes sense.
The Falcons would lose the compensatory pick, essentially.
That they were supposed to get.
Yes.
That still is not fair to the Falcons, to me. I mean, he signed the contract.
No, because they can't control whether he reports or doesn't report.
But they lost a free agent. And he signed with the Titans. Whether he plays with them or not is not the Falcons' problem. They should still get the compensatory pick.
Right.
I think.
I don't think that makes sense what you're saying, Chase. Whatever's being written, that doesn't make any sense. Willie is right. How could the Falcons be on the hook for what a guy is doing with another team? I mean, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
When you lose somebody to free agency, you get a compensatory pick. You're supposed to get one down the road. But to me, if I'm the Falcons, it shouldn't matter whether Vic Beasley plays one game, 1 minute, or not at all. They should still get that pick.
The minute he signs, that's now yours.
I agree.
I would do it. Like, the minute he signs, then you get what's owed to you. That's a compensatory pick. What happens after that is irrelevant to you. To me, you're now off the hook. You've lost him. He's gone. Here's your pick, and what happens after that is not your problem.
I don't disagree with you. That's the way I look at it. I'm telling you what's being reported.
It doesn't make any sense. That's a silly – if that is true, that doesn't make any sense at all. How could you come back to the Falcons and say, hey, guys,
I guess, but
he didn't show up, so we got to take it back.
Right. Well, so I guess what they're essentially saying, and by they I mean the league, if this is a league rule – that, yes, he signed a contract, and when he signed the contract, you got the compensatory pick. But him not showing up voids the contract, and so therefore you lose the pick.
Okay.
I guess that's how it is.
I mean, I understand. I guess that makes – until he actually shows up, I guess it's not legal yet. It's not –
I guess so.
Yeah.
But if it's COVID-related – why are you not communicating that? I mean, I don't know.
That's why I'm saying this is bad. He's
full on Kevin Dodd right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like, if you're opting out, that's fine. I mean, players are opting out as we're talking about, but why aren't you communicating? Why have you gone off the grid? Like, to me, that's very alarming. Like, I don't know what that indicates. I mean, I can only imagine the scramble behind the scenes over at the Titans facility. They're probably going, what in the world is happening? I mean, just all you have to do is just tell them, like, hey, I'm just not comfortable. I'm opting out. That's your right. The players are doing
that. Or just say, hey, I'm weighing my options.
I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. Like, I'm not sure. I'm 50-50. But just to go off the grid, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to make of that. It doesn't make any sense. I hope nothing's wrong. I hope everything is okay with Vic Beasley. I hope this is not, you know, something really bad. By the way, are there reports? Has anybody talked to him? Is anybody out there saying that
they've
spoken to him? They've been around him? They've seen him? I mean, that's why I said that this is alarming, and I hope this is not bad. I hope this is not a bad thing.
And they have until August 4th is the deadline. So that's, you know, how long I guess this could go if it is related to that. But August 4th is the deadline that players have to opt out. But, yeah, I haven't seen anything where people have talked to him.
Yeah,
he's just either. Completely fallen off the grid.
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll head to Edmonton. Brooks Bratton is in the Hub City with the Predators. We'll talk about today's matchup against the Stars. Get the lay of the land up in Edmonton with Brooks. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Predators and Stars today at 3 o'clock. They get the exhibition going today. Six games yesterday on the docket. Back around Darren, Donick, and Chase. This will be the one tune-up before the Predators game one in their qualifying round against the Arizona Coyotes. That will be on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. That'll be game one, Preds and Coyotes, and that'll be the first slate of action on Sunday. Five games on Saturday, all qualifying rounds, so all those games will count on Saturday, and another full slate on Sunday, starting at Edmonton, where we go right now. Brooks Bratton is standing by. He is in the Hub City with the Predators. Brooks, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, Darren. It's good to talk to you here from the bubble in Edmonton, Alberta.
Yeah, good to talk to you. So tell us, you guys went up there on Sunday as we sit here on this Thursday morning. How has it been so far? Kind of give us a little bit of the lay of the land.
It's honestly been pretty surreal. So as you said, we got here on Sunday, landed Sunday afternoon from Nashville. And once we hopped on the buses and headed to the hotel, it was kind of funny. As we pulled into the hotel, they opened a fence, essentially, and you walk into the hotel and you kind of think, well, it's real now. We're in, and we're hopefully not getting out for a little while. So it's pretty surreal to be here, but I got to tell you, the setup is fantastic. I think everybody has been blown away, myself, players, coaches, everyone that I've talked to, just with the safety and the security, and it's clear that this was just a massive undertaking, and the detail that must have gone in to put something like this together. It's really quite impressive how safe and secure we feel here. And I think if anybody had any hesitation coming in, I think that was quickly squashed.
So I'm going to just come right out of the gates with probably a silly question, but I honestly don't know. Today's technology, man, I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. CGI is a pretty cool thing. They can pretty much do anything they want these days in Hollywood. Are those real tarps? Oh, this, like I said, this may qualify as a silly question. I think it's real, but I don't know if it's CGI or not. Are those real tarps over the seats, or is that just enhanced?
No, it is all real.
Okay.
It has all been built out. Yeah, all the tarps, all the screens and the lighting, everything that you see in the arena, that is 100% built on there, on top of the seats, hanging from the rafters. It is all real, I can promise you that.
And so how does that look in person? Because that's something obviously none of us have ever seen at a game or in an arena.
It's pretty mind-blowing, honestly. The first time that I walked into the building, we actually walked over on Sunday evening just to check it out after we got here. And I was thoroughly impressed by it. It looks really good. And that was one of the elements the league was really focused on, was just how things would look on the broadcast. And as you guys said, six games yesterday, there were a few on Tuesday as well. So maybe a lot of your listeners have seen what it looks like already. But if you're hoping to see it for the first time today, when the Preds play, I think that you're in for a treat. Again, it's a way that a game has never looked before. They've got a ton of different camera angles that they could never use before with fans in the building. And it's just a really impressive setup over there. And it's, you know, trying to take away from the fact that there aren't fans in the building as much as possible. And they did a really good job making it look. It's just really impressive, honestly. And I'm excited for people to see it on TV.
How does the setup work now that you've been on, you know, in the middle of this at the Hub with all these teams, right, and practices and these exhibition games and just shuffling around hotels and in and out and Rogers Arena, this, the whole setup, how is it with everybody there in one place? How has it been you know, as we sit here on Thursday, kind of maneuvering around from point A to point B?
It's pretty crazy, honestly, to be in the same hotel with five other teams. So there's six teams here where we are at the JW, and then there's six more teams about a block away at the Sutton Hotel. And, I mean, just to see a bunch of different teams walking around and, you know, former teammates running into each other. Everybody that I've talked to that has either been to an Olympic tournament or a world championship has likened it to that, where okay. every team is kind of in that Olympic village or that mm-hmm. hub or that same hotel. But never have you had an NHL situation like this, where the only thing that it kind of reminds me of a little bit is the draft or All-Star, where everybody is kind of in the same place. But never before have there been six teams in the same hotel. So it is pretty wild just to see entire teams of players walking through the same hotel where you're used to being the only team in the building. And so it's pretty fascinating from that perspective.
You and Willie, albeit a lot, but the four of us have been on, you know, team planes, traveling with the team and seeing just the mood of a flight, whether it's a short flight, long flight. We've done both. So we know what, you know, normal operating procedures, what the feel is like on a plane. Was it the same plane ride as you've been accustomed to over the years? Was it a little bit different? What was the mood of the team in going to Edmonton?
Well, very exciting. There was just a lot of excitement and energy and just wanting to get here. I think that's the overriding theme is guys are just so excited to be here and to get to play hockey again. The circumstances, of course, aren't ideal, but the fact that they're getting on the ice today, I think, overrides everything. It was a very exciting journey up here, just that anticipation of what was to come. Everybody wearing their mask on the plane the whole time. We usually get meal service on the plane, which we did again, but instead of everything kind of out in the open, everyone was brought individual prepackaged meals, so that was a little bit different. And then just, you know, the journey up here again, everyone wearing their masks, and that has obviously continued here in the bubble. You can't go out of your hotel room without wearing your mask and wearing your credential. Obviously, there's exceptions for the guys when they're playing. They won't be wearing masks when they're playing today. But if you are pretty much walking around anywhere where there's at least one other person, you've got to have that mask and you've got to have that credential on, just protocol and to keep things safe and secure.
All right, last thing on my end, and I'm going to steal probably the juiciest question. How do you think John Hines, and we had him on yesterday, and he said out of respect to not informing the goaltenders his plan yet, that he wasn't going to reveal that to us. So I can understand that. How do you think the goalies are going to play out today's exhibition game? Because in watching everything Tuesday and yesterday, everybody seems to have a different approach. How do you think John Hines' approach will be?
Well, I definitely think we'll see both of them. I don't think that'll be a case that it was Toronto-Montreal the other night where I think both Carey Price and Freddie Anderson both played the entire time for their respective clubs. I think we will definitely see both goaltenders today. And John Hines said it a few weeks ago that if you're going to have a deep run in the playoffs, you're going to need both goaltenders at some point, especially with a tandem like Rene and Saros, who are certainly both capable of not only going in and playing well for your team, but capable of stealing a game too, perhaps if you need that. So I think the Preds would like to get action for both of them. I don't know that if it'll be maybe hit the 10-minute mark of the second period and an even switch, or if someone gets two periods, if someone gets one period, or even who will start. I mean, you know, who starts today, does that mean that's your game one starter against Arizona? I don't know that that's even the case. So I think we will see both of them, but in what capacity, that'll be interesting to see. And then again, depending on how things go today, does that determine who's starting game one for the Predators? Because I don't know that that's even necessarily been figured out. So I think we'll learn a lot today as far as the goaltending situation is concerned. And then Counter to that, though, I don't know that we'll know the starter for game one until someone leads a team out for warmups on Sunday. So one of the biggest questions entering training camp, and still something that we're looking for answers for today.
Brooks Bratton is with us from NashvillePredators.com, and of course he is representing in the bubble. He is the eyes and ears of the organization, kind of like Carl, the janitor in the movie The Breakfast Club. Brooks is an aficionado, even though he's wise beyond his years, he can go back with the music and the movies. Brooks, I know you're doing several people's jobs, right, that would normally be with the traveling crew. So how have you held up so far? I'm sure you're getting texts and calls and requests all throughout the day.
Yeah. So, excuse me. So you're right. There's only 52 of us. And that was by design in each team's traveling party to only have 52 people, just to keep the numbers down and to make sure that everybody could fit in one place. And what adds to that is because it's the playoffs, Willie, you know that, you know, normally on a regular road trip, you're only dressing 20 guys a game. And maybe you have two or three extra players. So on a normal road trip, you only have 23 players. The rosters were expanded because it's the postseason now. And so the Predators actually brought 30 players here with them. So instantly you've got 30 players. And then when you add in coaches, trainers, equipment staff, management, that adds up pretty quickly. And so you're right. Myself and Brandon Walker, our manager of hockey operations, who essentially, we don't go anywhere without Brandon. He gets us from point A to point B and does an amazing job at it. But he and I are kind of handling everything from a PR perspective. Of course, my role is usually to more so or less just be a team reporter and write articles and, maybe take some videos and do a radio hit every once in a while. So I'm obviously still doing that. I'm also taking a bunch of photos and videos for social media and sending those back to Nashville so those can be posted on Twitter and Instagram and the like. I'm doing interviews. I pre-recorded an interview with Colton Sissons yesterday. I did one for TV with Rocco Grimaldi. Going to talk to John Hines later today before the game for the 102.5 pregame. So it's a lot. But we're getting through it. It's been nice to have a couple of practice days to really figure out how everything's going to go. And then I'm also very excited for this game day just to see how that's going to play out, because this is just something that none of us have ever experienced. And there are similarities to a normal road trip, but it's something that's very different. And so it's a lot, but I got a lot of people helping me out back in Nashville remotely as well. So we're all figuring it out together, and we're all collaborating and trying to show our fans as much as we can here from the bubble.
It really looks good on TV, sounds good. You know, I think we were all curious of what it would look and feel like from a TV standpoint. I know some of the players, I believe I was told, that they actually went over there and watched some of the games the last couple of days just to get a feel for the atmosphere. Have you done that, Brooks? Have you watched anything live yet?
I have not seen anything live. I have been over there every day. Just to kind of check things out and go look at some different areas. I know some of our coaches and staff were over there the other night checking things out live. I think some of the guys maybe have gone over as well. So I'll probably do that at some point. But again, just the last few days for me, just kind of getting the hang of things and the lay of the land and what all I need to do in my day. Just trying to figure that out and get that routine down. So this will be the first time that I've been over there for a live game, so certainly looking forward to that. It's obviously been since March since we had anything like that to do, so that's very exciting.
Julie Turris shared with us, she did a little interview for the Predators staff the other day, and Brooks, you were a part of that as well. She said that Kyle was taking advantage of one of the hoops. They got a couple of outdoor basketball hoops to shoot on, so What's the best highlight so far of the environment? Best food, best feature? I know they're trying to put all kinds of different games out there just to have some stuff to do there. So what have you taken advantage of so far? What's the highlight?
Well, there's a Tim Hortons food truck that's got a line that's about a mile long right now that I can see from my hotel room. I know John Hines mentioned that the other day, the free Timmy's is out there and is very popular, but there's a couple basketball hoops. There's some cornhole stations and just some tables and chairs and kind of this outdoor courtyard. So that's a nice little area to just get some fresh air. And then every team also has a designated player lounge over at Rogers Place, the arena here. And that's got card tables and PlayStation set up and just some and a ping pong table as well, and just some nice lounging areas, just to get out of your hotel room. We've only been here for a few days right now, but Willie, you know that when we're on the road, usually every 2 to 3 days, we're going somewhere new. And so even now, being here since Sunday, it's kind of getting, into your routine, and maybe you're sick of seeing the same four walls. So there are some opportunities for guys to get out and do some other activities. And again, I mean, I think all these guys are such hockey junkies, just the opportunity to go over and maybe watch some other games too, I think is a really nice perk as well.
We're talking to Brooks Bratton of the Nashville Predators, and I feel like all our questions are about the bubble, but it's fascinating to be able to hear about this. So can you pretty much go anywhere you want because you're with the team? Is that kind of how your credential works?
Yeah, so there's five levels of groups, I guess you could say. So there's anyone from what I am at a level one with a team. So you're right, I pretty much can go anywhere I want, which is nice. And then you get lower as you go down. So for example, the people who are working here at the hotel, they're a level three. They're obviously working here, but they don't have the same kind of clearance or interaction to go anywhere they want. So as I said, you can't leave your room without this credential. That's obviously your identifier, so people know that you are or are not where you're supposed to be. But it's very safe. It's very secure. From that standpoint as well, just between that and you get tested every day. So that's been a very smooth process. It's all just run very smoothly. It's incredibly organized. And I got to tell you guys too, we take the buses to a separate practice facility. There's not enough room at the arena for 12 teams to be practicing too. So there's a practice facility about a half an hour drive away. And because there's so many teams, all of the different buses have the team's logo in the front windshield, and on the little scroll, it's scrolling the team name. So people on the road know who you are. I can't tell you how many people every day that we take this bus to practice are stopping and waving at us. And it's kind of cool. Like the whole city, it seems, is really just embracing hosting this here. And I honestly love driving through and seeing anyone from kids to, there was an old man on his bicycle who stopped and waved at the bus yesterday. So that's been pretty cool to see too.
All right, Brooksy, I do have some hockey questions for you. So you mentioned the goalies earlier and trying to figure that out, what that's going to look like. You know, one guy that has had an up and down season was Austin Watson, and started off pretty good, got rewarded, got the contract extension, but he's been in and out of the lineup throughout the year. What is it that you're expecting out of him and his role moving forward, starting today and then even on Sunday?
Well, he's been on the, if you want to call it, the fourth line throughout training camp with Colton Sissons and Callie Yarncrock. And I would think that that's what we're going to get today. John Hines really has not altered his lineup at all throughout training camp. So I would think that that's the look we're going to get today. And a player like Austin Watson, I mean, we know how good he was when it was the Bonino, Sissons, and Watson line a couple years ago in the playoffs. And, you know, a guy like Austin Watson, you need that kind of player in the playoffs. He's big. He's physical. He can chip in with a goal a time or two. And I think he is just one of the many guys on this team that is looking at this as a fresh restart. There's a lot of guys that were not happy with their individual performances last season. And between that and you get a new coach coming in, and it's a lot. And so I think these last 4 months were a really good time to not only keep training as all the guys were doing and staying in shape, but just kind of to have a reset. And Coach Hines made it a point to reach out to every single player and get to know them a lot more as a person. It's one thing to know how your players are on the ice, but it's just as important, I believe, to get to know them as people and know how they tick. And so, I think Austin Watson is just one of the guys who is looking at this as a reset. And as far as I'm concerned, the Preds are going to need a player like that in this postseason, especially as you go further along. You need contributions from everyone, and he's a guy that is capable of doing it in many different ways, whether it's his physicality or, you know, going hard to the net and maybe chipping in a greasy goal a time or two. He's just one of many players on this team who's really excited to show what they can do on this stage.
Yeah, and you bring up that there are several that kind of fall in that category, and I think one that we've mentioned consistently is Ryan Johansson, but to me, Matt Duchene could also fall in this, that it was good, you know, he had a decent season, but not what everybody, I think, was expecting, and that could be just the team overall. But do you get a sense of being around him, watching practice, that he's another one of those that seems refreshed and ready to really make a difference in this run?
I do, and I would increase that to everybody in the top six. So that's the Jofa line with Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson, and then Duchene's line with Mikhail Granlund and Kyle Turris. Both of those lines have looked excellent through training camp and through these 3 days of practice here in Edmonton. And both of those trios had some rather pretty goals in the two scrimmages that the Preds held at Bridgestone last week in camp. And yes, they're only scrimmages, but scoring a pretty goal on a scrimmage is better than not scoring any goals at all. And so I think that the chemistry has really come back with both of those units. And that was Coach Hines' mentality to start this, is let's go with guys who have chemistry. Let's go with some trios and some defensive pairings that we know that have worked in the past. We have limited time to get ready for this, so let's go to some things that have already worked. And again, I mean, just the Duchene line and the Johansson line, I think those guys especially are really eager to show what they can do. And a lot of those guys have been great playoff performers before. And I think they're anxious to show that, you know, I can still do this. I can still perform on this stage. And so, you know, you can talk all you want. You've got to show up and do it when it matters. But for all intents and purposes, this Predators team is a hungry team. They're an excited team. And that's not a bad thing considering the situation they're in right now.
Brooks, I hope you're up there a long time. This won't be the last time we talk. Thanks for doing this. And like I said, we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
Brooks Bratton, he's up there with the Predators at the Hub City in Edmonton. And, of course, they will drop the puck today at 3 o'clock against the Dallas Stars. You will hear everything right here on 102.5 The Game. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will be on the call. I will have pregame for you starting at 2. There will be postgame. A lot of reaction around today's exhibition game right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour. Darren Donick and Chase next. Appreciate Brooks Bratton for joining us up in Edmonton where the Predators are. They will be playing the Dallas Stars today in their one tune-up before game one of the qualifying round on Sunday. This is your place. It is game day. It is roll call. I'll have pregame for you at 2 o'clock. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will be on the call today. And then afterwards, we'll have postgame. I'll have that for you. And then even more coverage, Chase. Tell us about it.
Yeah, right after you're done with postgame, Jeremy Gover, Justin Bradford, and yours truly, we will be on Facebook Live for game night, a postgame edition of game night reacting to the Predators game. You'll and might even have some surprises involved as well. So working on that, going to be a lot of fun to do something a little different because Gover and I can't be in the locker room, so we want to be a part of things. So Justin Bradford too. So we're gonna have that for you after postgame.
Sounds very good. This is your place to get all your Predators coverage to starting today. And today against the Dallas Stars, there's a statement from Titans general manager John Robinson, and he says this: "We placed Vic Beasley on the reserve, did not report list. I have been in contact with Vic. He is not here. He understands his absence is unexcused, and he told me he will be reporting to camp in the near future. Our current focus is on the players that are here now, getting everyone acclimated to the protocols, our building, our football program. We will have the same acclimation process with Vic when he reports." So there you go. The latest from Titans general manager John Robinson. I'm not sure what all this means. He says he's
That didn't really tell me anything I didn't know.
He's not there.
Well, at least they talked to him. I mean, the fact that they've talked. The term off the grid. I mean, when you say off the grid, you're starting to think, is the guy missing? Is he in a ditch somewhere? I mean, it could be the worst possible scenario. So at least they've been in communication. That's the news there.
Well, the news yesterday was that he was off the grid. So that's all we knew. And so I guess it was time for John Robinson to speak up and say, hey, he's not off the grid. By the reports, I have talked to him. So, and he's telling me he's going to report in the near future. So it is news because it was fine to say off the grid because that's the way it was being reported, that there was no communication between Vic Beasley and the Tennessee
Titans.
I'm
just pointing out, so that's fine. But then, Chase, you just said, well, that didn't tell me anything. Well, at least they've talked. At least we know he's alive and he's out there, and it sounds like he's going to show up. You know, he's not opting out. So that is news, I think.
Right, but I absolutely. But I just – now I want to know why is he not there. I mean, just – it makes no sense. You just signed a deal. You're a free agent. You're on a prove-it deal.
It's not a good first impression.
No.
That's for sure.
No, and you already had – I mean, we're going to talk to Wes Durham a little bit later, but, I mean, he's already kind of had this of, man, does he love football? I mean, there's a little bit of a stigma with him. So this is not a good look, and I know that, you know, John wants to get him in the building, and then he might share a little bit more, and I get that, but right now it's just, okay, good, you've talked to him, why isn't he here? What does this mean? So that's just kind of my thing on it. This is because if he doesn't play or if he doesn't make the team or whatever, I mean, the Titans, that's a big piece that they were hoping was going to be something for that pass rush.
It's definitely not a good look. I don't know what's going on. Obviously, John Robinson, I'm sure, can and will not disclose that, whatever. If anything, I don't know. I don't know what he told John Robinson other than, yeah, I understand it's unexcused and I'll be there, you know, soon. But what he said past that, I don't know. I'd love to know. Like, why aren't you here? So if you're coming, then why aren't you here? I mean, I don't know.
Like, and hey, John, I forgot the report date was on the 28th.
Well, if that was what he said, then there's alarm should be going off. The siren should be going off if that's what he told the general manager.
Right.
Oh, man, I forgot. Or I slept in. Sorry.
Oh, today? We were supposed to be there today? I thought you said July 30th.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Let me go back and
look. Did
that
change? Let me check.
I don't think
email.
I got the email. I don't think I got the email. My email said July 30th.
Let's see. You sent
my
that.
Bad.
Now, which email did you send that to? Did you send that to Beasley1 at Gmail? Is that what it was? No, see,
I think
you
there's
sent
a misprint.
It to my
I must have
one.
Filled out my email thing wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I think it went to spam.
Ah, there it is.
I think your email went to spam.
Same strange again. Yeah, that's a red flag. Titans training camp report date. Send
that
to the spam.
Not good.
Well, I mean, what could be his reasoning behind if he's coming? You know, if he's coming, then what's your reasoning for not being there? Like, you needed more time? I mean, why? Like, everybody hasn't had 4+ months to figure everything out, what their next move is? I mean, do you really need more time to – I mean, you're either you're in or you're out. Like I said, if you're out, that's fine. But you're either in or you're out. I don't know how you could be on the fence at this point. You've had all this time to think about your next move.
What is it with Clemson linebackers and the Tennessee Titans?
I don't know.
I mean, Vic Beasley and then, you know, Kevin Dodd before that, just things can't seem to go smoothly.
I don't know. I just, like I said, this is new news. There has been communication, so that's good. And, oh, by the way, he's reporting, according to this statement from John Robinson. So the whole notion of, is this mean he's out? Is he not going to be in the plans? Which, you know what the next move would have been, right? It would probably have been today.
Yeah.
If Vic Beasley opted out, you know what the next move by the Titans would be.
Yeah.
Like I said, it'd probably be happening today.
And Jadeveon would just be licking his chops. going, yeah.
Well, this is
me.
This is the advantage. This is possibly the advantage of waiting if you're Jadeveon Clowney, is because stuff like this comes up. All of a sudden, teams' landscape changes, and you're like, oh, boy, we need to reassess our roster, and we need to open up the checkbook. You know what I mean? I think there is a chance that that happens, and he does get more money than he would have. That's the, and it could go the other way, too. But I think with all the twists and turns that can happen, maybe the best strategy is to wait. And it looks like he's going to continue to wait. I'm looking at, you know, there's just what, I didn't see who tweeted it. I think our old buddy John McClain retweeted somebody saying that he's going to be waiting. He reported very late last year. Charles Robinson is the one that put this out there. NFL reporter for Yahoo. This is the latest. Spoke to several NFL sources involved in the Jadeveon Clowney pursuit. All expressed that they don't believe his signing is coming, quote, soon. One pointed out that Clowney didn't report until the end of August last year and may be inclined to do the same thing this year with the signing, which falls in line with what a lot of people have been saying all along. He's going to wait, wait, wait.
Which he said that, so... I mean, I guess he's sticking to it. But if he goes to a new team, even though the system is going to be similar to what he's played in before, I mean, I would think he'd want to not wait till the end of August, maybe the middle, at least get. But you don't have preseason, so who knows?
That's an old trick a lot of guys used to do back in. I mean, that's been going on forever. Now it was a little bit different back then. There was two-a-days and preseason games. There's not two-a-days. There's not going to be preseason games this year, so I don't know what you're trying to avoid, but that was an old trick from especially veterans back in the day, for forever. They just, hold out, not sure if I'm going to play, just to miss a bunch of camp, a bunch of two-a-days and some preseason games, and then wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm fine, I'm good. All right, I'm ready to report.
Brett Favre was notorious for that.
Oh, there's been... There's a long, long, long list of guys like that. So that's nothing new. I mean, I don't know if that's Clowney's play. Like I said, there's no longer – camp isn't like that anymore. There's no preseason this year. So I don't know. Maybe he is waiting for the perfect scenario to play out. Maybe he's just going to – he's willing to play poker and hope for that. Not hope, but just wait and see if – the injury happens, right? Or, because guys go down in camp. It happens all the time. And is there a key guy at his position that goes down on somebody's team and all of a sudden they get really, really desperate really fast? And all of a sudden the number that had been proposed before went up, goes up 2 or 3 million. I mean, maybe he's willing to do that. I don't know.
I do wonder, though, when he does get up from the table, from the poker table, if he's going to have a big smile on his face, a medium smile, or no smile, because that's the perfect analogy of what this is. It's a poker game, and right now
he better be in shape too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because if he's not, then it's gonna blow up in his face. But I mean, this is if he is, and he did that workout video what 2-3 months ago that the TV station in Atlanta did. So he had that. But if he shows up to a team, they test him out, they like him, and he ends up getting much more than everybody thought, then good on him. He played it right. It worked. But it's a poker game right now.
All right, we'll come back. Like I said, Wes Durham in the second hour of the program. Elliot Freeman in a weekly chat with him coming up at 1 o'clock today from Sportsnet. Boy, there'll be a lot of things to get into with him. But first, Willie, give us a word about Lee Company on the way out.
All right, let me tell you about Lee Company. We are glad to have their sponsorship. As the Predators are back on the ice, Lee Company is back out there to sponsor, as they have for a long time, our coverage of the Predators on 102.5 The Game. Great people. They have served us for a long time with their home maintenance plan that I tell you about all the time. And in this time, I think a lot of you, it's fair to say, have been spending a lot of time at your home. So it is such an important thing to stay on top of things. Make sure your house is routinely being checked, your plumbing system, your electrical system, your air conditioning, and, of course, your heating system. right now, you know your air conditioner has been going hardcore for a few months. If it's not working properly, call the folks at Lee Company and get on board with the program. 615-567-1000, because they can give you immediate service for sure. But long term, if you get on the home maintenance plan, you'll pay a very small monthly fee, and then you get the annual checkups to make sure they're staying on top of things. And then when those repairs need to be made, you get discounts on those repairs. Find out more by calling 615-567-1000 or go to LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you. Proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.